You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Broncos country, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best news, insight, and coverage into all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys once again for another episode of the show. I am your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network, as well as a columnist for the fan-sided networks, PredominantlyOrange.com. I am also launching CodyRourkeNFL.com, where we will have exclusive NFL and Broncos related coverage on the YouTube channel Cody Rourke NFL. Head over there if you haven't already and click subscribe. We've got a lot of awesome things in store for you guys today. You know, one thing before we get into everything else too, please shoot an email to Cody@CodyRourkeNFL.com. Your Broncos, your NFL mailbag questions. We'll do it in a video format this week. So awesome to get back to Broncos country to be involved in the conversation. You guys can shoot me a follow on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. And I'm joined by my co-host Cameron Parker. As always, you guys can follow him on Twitter at CameronParkerPO. He's also a columnist for the fan side of networks, PredominantlyOrange.com. Cam, you know what? How are you doing today? I hear that we are preparing for another potential bomb cyclone here in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm a little bit tired of snow. Not that I am a huge fan of snow, because I like snow. It's just when you get an overemphasis of it, and obviously just the endless amounts of snow, I think it's time to just put an end to it. So yeah, I'm a little bit tired of it. But hey, you know what? I got my cup of coffee here this morning, and I'm all geared and ready to talk about some Denver Broncos, talk about Derek Wolf and some of the comments that he made and a bunch of other stuff. So it's going to be an exciting time certainly to talk about. And if you guys are listening to the Lockdown Broncos podcast still, please feel free to subscribe to the Lockdown Broncos podcast on iTunes and leave us a review. And if you guys are followers of the show or followers of us and we aren't following you, please leave your Twitter handle down there on the review and Cody and I can follow you. And obviously I know Cody, you're still planning your massive giveaway here in the coming days, at least if you can eclipse that 10,000 follower mark. So get Cody to 10,000.
Yeah, we're just about 20, 22 away. So Broncos country, tell a friend to tell a friend. But hey, jam-packed episode in store for you guys here today. Segment number one, look, Broncos preseason schedule has been announced. Very excited to talk about the five games that they will be playing very, very soon in the coming months. Segment number two, we're going to talk a little bit about Champ Bailey. Broncos great, going into the Hall of Fame. He had a couple things to say in his interview today at the Denver Boys and Girls Club breakfast. Got to meet with Orange and Blue 760's Tyler Plumbus, James Gomez. But he also talked about Chris Harris Jr. and his contract and what he thinks on it from a perspective, you know, so arguably the greatest cornerback of all time, Champ Bailey, talking about one of the other Broncos' greatest corners of all time in Chris Harris Jr. We're going to give a little bit of clarity on that, analyze what he had to say. And then segment number three, we're going to hear from Broncos defensive lineman Derek Wolf, who had a lot to say at the media giveaway yesterday. So a lot of Broncos news in store for you. Obviously, we're going to have some Broncos interviews this afternoon that we'll have on tomorrow's episode of the show to discuss and go into that. But changes are coming. You know, Broncos players are embracing the new culture around Dove Valley. Very, very excited about that. But let's dive right into it. Let's analyze the preseason slate for the Broncos coming up here in August. Now, obviously, we know August 1st is the Hall of Fame game against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I think this is the NFL's way of honoring Champ Bailey and even Pat Bowlen, who has been so monumental in the NFL in terms of their television rights and just the evolution of where they have, I'd say, gone under his advisement. He's been very, very monumental and rightfully so going to the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't get in sooner, but you know what? He's in now. That's all that matters. Broncos fans are happy. But in this game, you can't expect any starters to play. This will be a nationally televised game on NBC. You always see that. Hall of Fame game, August 1st. But then the four slates of games, this is going to be interesting. You're probably going to see the starters play a little bit. Again, you know, the Seattle game, they open up on the road in the time frame between either August 8th or August 12th against the Seattle Seahawks on the road to be channelized locally on your Broncos channel. But this is going to be an interesting one because every single year the Broncos, I think, will alternate schedule. I think San Francisco is the one team that they've had, or Arizona is the one team they've always had on their schedule in the preseason, and they're going to be going to battle with them once again. But opening up in that time frame between August 8th and August 12th on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. But then they go up in the San Francisco game the following week, the third preseason game for them, another nationally televised game, Monday Night Football, August 19th, against Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. It's going to be a little interesting there because we're going to see Rich Scangarello going against his former team, so that'll be a fun little element to see there. And then their third preseason game, they're on the road opening up at the Los Angeles Rams. You could probably expect the starters to play the first half in that game. I mean, that's how it always goes. And then they have the preseason finale against the Arizona Cardinals at home, August 29th. No starters will play in that game. You're going to see a lot of people fighting for a roster spot there as the Broncos look to make their final roster cuts as the preseason part approaches. But I think the interesting thing, Cam, too, is you got to look at the San Francisco game. I mean, that's really going to be one where we see joint training camp practices with these two teams. The 49ers coming to town, obviously they have a great relationship between John Elway and John Lynch, so they're going to come to town. You're going to have a little bit of scrimmage, and you know the Chicago Bears came to town last year and they did the same exact thing with the Broncos. They had joint scrimmage practices, they had one-on-ones. Phillip Lindsay was, you know, having a field day in one-on-one matchups with linebackers, safeties, and it's just competitive. You get a different look there. So, you know, a lot of storylines to look at as the preseason approaches. I mean, five games, there is a lot of storylines in each of every one of those games for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time, and any chance we have to just look at the preseason schedule, it usually just brings back that excitement that football's right near the corner, right close to the corner. I mean, once I believe we're in April, so obviously when the draft starts coming around and that opportunity happens, and then with the Broncos, I believe they start their workouts a lot earlier than normal because of the new head coach. It's just they always hit the ground running, and while it, I think that this is why I love sports in general, because every single time we think that, say, a sport is dead in a particular period, it's really not dead, and there's always movement, there's always something going on behind the scenes, or something going on that ends up leaking in the public sphere, and I think it's absolutely fascinating, and the fact that the Broncos do have these types of opponents, like say the Rams, and they're going to actually do a scrimmage in California, if I'm not mistaken, with the Rams. So it'll be interesting to see those types of scrimmages with a guy like Aqib Talib and a bunch of familiarity there with Wade Phillips. So it'll be a lot of fun.
It really will. And I think too, the Hall of Fame game, I think we're going to see a lot of the young guys play. You're going to see the third string, fourth string guys play. You're not really going to see the second string guys necessarily play a lot, just because it's the five preseason games is a lot. I mean, the NFL has been talking for years about it, maybe the possibility of eliminating a preseason game overall, maybe adding a game to the regular season. I think player safety and concern is one of the biggest things too, and we always see every year. I mean, there was a debacle with the Hall of Fame game a couple years ago where they couldn't even play on the field, and it was just absolutely embarrassing that they, you know, had the Hall of Fame ceremony and then they couldn't even field on the playing field that they had. I mean, it's just absolutely something they had to avoid. So I think the NFL has hopefully learned from that and they're taking better precautions there, but it's going to be exciting. All I care about is seeing football, you know, and like you said, people talk about in the offseason, well, it's a dead time of the year, nobody cares about the preseason. Well, like, if you're a true fan, I encourage you to get really involved in the preseason, because that's when players make the roster. That's where players are fighting for their spot, and you guys see it every single year. You know, fans want a certain player to make the team, but they don't really want to watch the preseason games, and it's fun to watch, regardless if you don't see the starters or not. If you play the starters an entire game, you risk a major injury, and I think that's something the Broncos want to avoid. So I would say we're probably going to see very, very limited action from Von Miller in the NFL preseason this upcoming year. I think we'll probably see maybe a few series overall, but ultimately I don't think he's going to play a whole half. You know, I think the Broncos want to protect their $100 million man, and rightfully so. That would be the right decision for them to do. But obviously, preseason football, the schedule is announced, so that means the NFL regular season schedule will be announced here very, very shortly, and we are going to have a complete reactionary breakdown of all the action. Where the Broncos going to open up their season opener? Or is it going to be at home? Is it going to be away? All the storylines. A very, very tough schedule for the Broncos heading into 2019. When the schedule is released, we'll have a complete analyze factor on that over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. So before we jump into segment number two, we're going to hear a little bit from Broncos legendary Hall of Fame cornerback Champ Bailey. He gave his thoughts on Chris Harris Jr., and I think it's a little interesting to touch base on kind of what we've talked about this week, because that's been a huge theme around Broncos country. So we're going to touch base on a little bit more from a guy who's actually shut down half the league when he played. But before we get into that, jumping into segment number two, got to remind you guys to check out Adamades and the Locked On Nuggets podcast. The Nuggets took on the Jazz yesterday. What was the outcome of the game? Adamades has you covered with all the recap of yesterday's action. Broncos Hall of Fame cornerback Champ Bailey had a chance to speak with media as he attended the Boy Scouts breakfast in Denver, and he had a lot to say about his career and his path and everything that means a lot to him, but ultimately he gave a little bit of insight on Chris Harris Jr., because when Chris Harris Jr. came in as an undrafted free agent, Champ Bailey took him under his wing, and he became a very, very big player for the Broncos. And Cam, I believe you still have the article pinned to your Twitter handle at Cameron Parker PO, where you talked about where Chris Harris Jr. could end up being the best Bronco ever based on the pace that he was at. And I certainly think that Champ Bailey sees the same exact thing in him. I mean, Champ Bailey's a very humble guy. I mean, if he was willing to let Pac-Man Jones use his jersey, which I thought was a terrible idea, in my opinion, should have never happened. That number should be retired. Should be retired now. 24 should be off limits alongside the number 27. But that's a different conversation for a different day. But he gave a little bit of insight on the contract situation regarding Chris Harris Jr. He kind of gave a little bit of note. He said, I think it goes without saying that he's been underpaid for a while now, and they know that. They know they have a bargain. I basically set it up there at the Boy Scouts breakfast. They want cheap labor, and if you're going to get it, you're going to try to get it the best way you can. That's from a team's perspective. But from Chris's perspective, you got to get what you deserve before it's too late. And he went on to say that Chris Harris Jr. deserves everything that he's looking for in terms of a contract. I certainly agree. Derek Wolfe was very outspoken on that. Chris Harris took a very, very good deal to stay in Denver. He took a hometown discount to keep, I think, some of those players intact from that Super Bowl 50 team. He wanted to keep the nucleus intact. He did just that. But now, Chris Harris Jr. deserves his contract extension. So, Champ Bailey had a lot of goat things to say.
Yeah, and I think to me, one of the things that was so stark was he really was adamant that Chris Harris really needed his contract. I mean, that to me was one of the interesting things about it. And he's always had a respect of others and respect for the game. And I think that just how both of those players have gone about their business and everything has just been, in all honesty, it's been, should we say, a little bit of a great comparison of one another, of maybe some potential similarities. And I think that one of the reasons you mentioned, the reason why I keep the Chris Harris thing pinned to my profile, is just because I just firmly believe that he's going to go down ultimately, but should we say, as that type of guy. I'm not saying should I say that he's going to be that guy. But he certainly has been on path. I mean, ever since then, I mean, he's been the consummate professional. He's definitely been, should we say, as far as a deal goes, he definitely was undervalued as far as Chris Harris goes. And for Champ Bailey, the Hall of Famer, to come out and say that he deserves that type of contract, it really does show that maybe it is the Broncos that certainly need to come out and pay him what he's worth. And I think that, you know, when you and I were talking a little bit about it yesterday, talking about Chris Harris and the difference of Von Miller and whatnot, I thought that one of the things that I thought was amazing was the discrepancy. But at the same time, one of the things that we can't necessarily knock is a player going out and getting his money. I mean, if he wants to go out and get his money, he needs to get his money.
He deserves it. And Champ Bailey also had a little bit more to say about that. And I want to use a little bit of credit here from Dave Outhouse. He's a sports executive producer over there at KDVR, KWGN Television in Denver, Colorado, for this audio bite that he got from Champ Bailey's media discussion that he went back and forth with, talking about Chris Harris Jr., really about betting on himself. And that's something that Chris Harris Jr. is doing.
Oh, bet on yourself, you know? That's really what it boils down to. He knows where he stands compared to the rest of the league and within himself and on this team. So, regardless, you got to get what you can out of this game before it kicks you out. And I commend any guy that takes a stand and fights for what he thinks he's worth.
And ultimately, Chris Harris Jr. deserves to have that type of value because, look, like we said, he came back, he suffered a very, very terrible injury against the Cincinnati Bengals. He came back, he rehabbed vigorously to try to come back if the Broncos were to make the playoffs, and he did everything he could to stay ready, and he would have been ready for that Week 17 game. The Broncos were just, you know, they knew at that point they were out. There was no point of rushing him back in, and I don't know if that's going to be used as leverage against Chris Harris Jr., but ultimately he has shown that he is, like I said, another guy, another Iron Man for the Broncos, as Matt Paradis was. But the thing that does worry me about this as time progresses, if the NFL draft doesn't provide us with any kind of insight or clarity after the conclusion of it, whether or not they're going to look at a contract extension, then I'm really, really worried. And I hate to say that because we've seen the Broncos kind of take that same approach with a fan favorite like Demaryius Thomas last season. Despite as much flack as Demaryius Thomas got, he was still considered a fan favorite. And that's something that I think the Broncos have shown that, look, we're going to look to upgrade and try to get whatever we can while we can. But man, I tell you what, just losing a guy like Chris Harris Jr. would be so detrimental to the Broncos' future on that defense. It would be a major blow. And I think for other guys that could be pending free agents at some point, they may look at that as like, wow, no loyalty. And that's just something the Broncos have had to fight the last couple of years anyways, because guys like Malik Jackson talking to the media saying that, you know, they don't value guys and things like that. So ultimately, I'm worried about that being an angle. However, if the Broncos come out, they extend Chris Harris Jr., I will be so happy because, look, he deserves it. He's been so monumental to their success. So Chad Bailey had a lot to say regarding Chris Harris Jr., and rightfully so. But we're also going to hear from Broncos defensive lineman coming up here in segment number 3. Derek Wolfe talked to the media and had a lot of insight into what he plans for 2019, his attitude, his mentality, and the difference in culture. He analyzed that a little bit and his thoughts on training camp. A lot of good gems from Broncos defensive lineman Derek Wolfe coming up in just a moment. Derek Wolfe met with the media on Tuesday afternoon following some of the Broncos' offseason workouts, a voluntary offseason program, and he gave a little bit of insight on what it was like working with Coach Fangio. He really appreciates Coach Fangio's style and the way he holds guys accountable, just his message. He's consistent. He's a no-nonsense type guy, according to Derek Wolfe. And also, at the end of the day, he also knows when to have fun.
You know, I think Vic's the perfect, you know, I said this before, that's the kind of guy that this team needs. You know, anytime you come off of a championship run like we made, you know, we had, you know, 4 great years with Peyton Manning. And when Peyton's around, he's the leader. He runs the show in the entire building, it seems like. So once you lose a guy like that, there's a space that needs to be filled that just, you know, a head coach usually fills that job. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to ask of anybody. So, you know, a guy like Vic, he comes in and he's a no-nonsense, old-school type of guy, you know, still likes to have fun. But, you know, he's the kind of guy, you just respect him, you know, just he's got the resume to respect. So, you know, he just demands that respect right away when he walks in a room.
When asked about his future, Derek Wolfe indicated that he would like to remain a Bronco for life, almost very similar to what his teammate Von Miller had said earlier this week. Derek Wolfe envisions himself being a Bronco for life and looks to have a tremendous season to make that possible.
I want to be a Bronco for life. You know, that's why I signed the deal I did last time. And, you know, the Broncos have been good to me, so if I play good, then they'll be good to me again. And I could finish my career here, and I don't really want to live anywhere else. So,
when it comes to his teammate Chris Harris Jr., Derek Wolfe knows what it's like to take a team-friendly deal to remain on the team. But ultimately, as Chris Harris Jr.'s contract is coming to an end after this upcoming season, he recognizes that Chris Harris Jr. deserves to be paid whatever he wants.
Chris is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, so, you know, I think he deserves to get paid, and he deserves to do whatever he feels is right for himself, you know. It's, you know, he already did his, you know, discount deal, so it's time for him to get his money, and that's how he feels. So I think everybody can relate to that, right? You know, you have a short time span in this league, so you have to earn as much as you can, especially if you take a discount on that first deal. And, you know, it's not like we didn't make enough money to take care of ourselves for the rest of our life, you know. So, you know, to me, you know, he's just trying to get that so he can, like, live an even better lifestyle than he already has plans on. So
one of the things I've always appreciated about Derek Wolfe is just his blunt honesty. I mean, we need more of that around the NFL with athletes. And after a game, I mean, you ask Derek Wolfe a question, he's just going to tell you a straight-up answer. If they play terrible, he's going to do it. If Broncos fans are doing things, sending messages to people or talking during games to players, then, you know, he's going to be very outspoken about that. He's a guy that cares a lot about his teammates. He cares a lot about the community of Denver. He loves to be in Denver. He wants to play his entire career in Denver. And I think ultimately the things he's done for the Broncos have warranted a lot of respect. And to be honest with you, Von Miller even came out and he said, without Derek Wolfe, I don't get a lot of those sacks that I do, because Derek Wolfe does a tremendous job of granting double teams. I mean, he warrants on the interior. He'll get center guard double teams. He'll get guard tackle double teams, which ultimately I think to NFL offenses will place a tight end next to that tackle in those situations because they will line up Derek Wolfe in a position to free guys up. But I think in Coach Fangio's system this year, it'll really open up Derek Wolfe to get a little bit more of an opportunity to get to the quarterback rather than just holding on to double teams and having linebackers fill. If you go back and you look at Coach Fangio's style of defense, predominantly his defensive line, they found ways to get to the quarterback. Everybody, the outside linebackers, the defensive ends, the defensive tackles, they find ways to get to the quarterback, and it's all about opening things up for them rather than just using one guy, one piece to allow another guy to get an opportunity. This Broncos defense has a ton of talent. Derek Wolfe adds to that, a veteran presence, and he talked a little bit about losing Doma Topeka. You know, it's a big blow. It's not like the same exact blow that you get when you lose a guy like Peyton Manning, but he said that Doma Topeka will be missed in the Broncos locker room, and rightfully so. A veteran guy that's been doing it for a long time. He's got a lot of confidence, got a lot of faith, and Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris, who joined us a couple weeks ago here on the show. We'll have Shelby back on here in the near future to talk about OTA's training camp. We'll get some training camp interviews with Shelby Harris, Will Parks, and our Broncos interviews, where you can get these here exclusively on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But do I think they can add some more depth to make them even more dangerous? I think so. If Ed Oliver is there at pick number 10, he's going to be a hard guy. You can't say no to a guy like that. You really can't. The Broncos would have some pieces. And just imagine the rotational situations they have with, you know, a guy like Ed Oliver and Shelby Harris and Zach Kerr. I mean, they can line guys up anywhere and you can get guys to do anything. Bradley Chubb can play a little bit on the defensive line this year too. He, you know, Coach Fangio wants his guys to be able to do multiple things. But the NFL draft is approaching us here in the next 2 weeks, and who knows how it's going to go. I mean, you see all these people doing mock drafts. Look, I'm over the whole mock draft scenario thing because we did our mock drafts. Now we just wait and see what happens. How picks 1 through 9 go? Could the Broncos trade up? There's reports that the Jets may look to trade down from number 3. So if the Broncos really want a guy, tremendous talent, for example, if they really wanted a Devin White, I'm sure they may be on the phone trying to figure out how they could get it by moving up to number 3, moving ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are smitten with Devin White. But the Broncos have a lot of options, and that's one thing I'm very, very excited about, is seeing how it plays out, how this draft process plays out for the Broncos front office organization, building on the 2018 draft where they had so many guys come in and contribute right away, and we're going to be looking for this year for Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Royce Freeman, Phillip Lindsay to take the next step in their career, and they're already doing it, and a lot of people are talking about Cortland Sutton saying that he's the number one wide receiver, and look, it's a mindset thing. He believes he's the number one wide receiver, and I like that, and a lot of people are like, well, Emmanuel Sanders is the number one wide receiver, so why is he saying this? Is there something going on? That's nothing. It's just a mindset. You got to have the mindset that you're the number one guy and that you're going to do whatever you can. It's an opportunity to get better. It's something that'll push him to be successful, and that's just athlete speak. If you guys know the psychology of athletes, you played sports, you probably understand what I'm talking about. When you get on that field, you want to act like you're the best guy on there. You have confidence in your own ability to perform, and I think that's something that Cortland Sutton needs. I mean, there were times last year, I think he even admitted that he lacked a little bit of confidence, and it all came with, you know, a couple drop passes here and there, you know, 1 to 2 catch games compared to a 7 catch game the week before. He said he's got to be more consistent in his career, and he looks to take that next step in 2019, and I think we're going to see the evolution of Cortland Sutton. I think we're going to see a really, really big year from a guy like Deshaun Hamilton as well. I think the Broncos receiving corps has some talent, and everyone's looking at, oh, the Broncos need to go here, they need to go here, they need to bring this guy in. I think ultimately they have the guys on the roster that I think can mold into what the coaching staff wants. Coach Scangarello's offensive scheme, Cortland Sutton, said he really appreciates it and he's looking forward to it. And that's one thing that I think not a lot of people take into consideration going back on film, but Cortland Sutton was actually a pretty darn good blocker, a big physical guy. And when you have that element, it makes it guys like Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, and maybe if your quarterback scrambles out a little bit, their ability to hold the block is so important. And that, I think that's one thing he got better at in terms of attacking the defensive back and his leverage, breaking down rather than overrunning a guy on a block, allowing that cornerback to make the play. We saw that in some spurts, but I think he grew as the season progressed. So Tim Patrick, another guy to keep an eye on for the Broncos, and look for Jeff Heuermann as well to have a really big role with the Broncos this season. But we'll see how the NFL draft shakes out. Do they add offensive talent? I mean, evidently they will probably add offensive positions. Defensively, there's a lot of talent in this year's draft. You got to look at interior offensive linemen. So Broncos country, NFL community, let the draft play out. I mean, we've done a million mock drafts, draft simulators as well. We won't know yet. So I think John Elway's got a plan. I think the Broncos front office has a plan. If they can build on last year's draft and have success again in this year's draft, I think he can start to turn that perception that a lot of people have towards his draft history. And I did that with air quotes. So John Elway and the scouting department, they've done their due diligence. They're working on guys. Still have some, you know, pre-draft visits. I think they're going to still work out. I think they only have a few more left that they can grab before they reach the total limit of 30. So keep for that in the next week or so. But the Broncos, they're gearing up, their big board's forming, and they're starting to figure out, okay, these are the guys that we want. They're generating interest in how the market is going with picks 1 through 9, and there is some heat. Will they move up to number 3? It's absolutely possible, but you're going to have a lot of teams trying to move up to number 3. I guarantee it. Several teams are going to try to move up, but you can't sell the house for that. So hopefully the Broncos can maybe do that, add a very, very strong defensive piece. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, they posted an Instagram photo about their excitement. If they were to get a guy like Devin White, what that would look like for the defense. So I'm all aboard that train. I mean, I think everybody in Broncos country is as well. But we're going to be back tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're going to get Mario Vitanzi back on the show this week for Well Adjusted. He just got back from WrestleMania, dealing with a little bit of jet lag, but we got a lot of Broncos stuff to talk about as well. And if the weather gets bad today, if you're in Colorado, stay safe, stay indoors, and have a hot cup of chocolate milk as well as coffee if you're that type of guy. If you're not a hot chocolate person, which I don't see how you can be, if you want that coffee, stay warm and let Locked On Broncos keep you warm by the fireplace every single day, your daily go-to podcast for all things Broncos related. No BS, no clickbait articles, no false headlines. We keep it to you 100%. So Broncos country, as always, appreciate you guys. Shoot me a follow on Twitter @CodyRourkeNFL.